Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We are talking every single episode of every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits. Streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Here's Nikki.
Oh, isn't that lovely? We just recorded that at breakfast with all my best gals here in Tulum, Mexico. They're big fans of the show, and so they've been singing it all weekend. And I gotta say, a song with my name in it, it's a double-edged sword. It like feels good, but it also feels ridiculous. And but it was so fun. Noah came down to breakfast after she had left to prep for the podcast. I was like, I'll be up in 10 minutes. We were finishing a conversation about anxiety and like depression and finding and talent and all of these things, just trying to figure out our lives. And then Noah came down with all her equipment and was like, can I get you guys to record the intro? And it was so fun to do. And what a great little memory. It's the last day here in my vacation, on my vacation in Tulum. It has been... Yesterday was so fun. We went to the pool again. We got COVID tested. What else did we do? We went to dinner. I don't know. We're just like relaxing. There's no activities. There's no like, I know they were supposed to go see some marshes or something with the bioluminescence, but we're just hanging and talking. It's so fun. Noah, we've played the game on the show before, but the new game from sex therapist, author, many other titles probably. Like, you know, Dr. Esther Perel created a game called Where Should We Begin, right? Mm-hmm. And we played it on the show before. And we were like yesterday picking cards. And I really was like, I don't know if this game is going to bring out the best stories. Within one, we were all at a pool, like at a fun festive pool where the vibe is like, you know, vacation pool. And one person cried. One person revealed something never, like everyone was revealing things they've never revealed before. It was a really good game. I really recommend it. Where Should We Begin? It's just a question game. And it's kind of like cards of humanity, whatever the hell that thing is. But it's that simple. But it just generates, I just love good, deep conversation and people being vulnerable and sharing things that they don't normally talk about. And that's just what this vacation has all been about. And it's funny because I know all of my friends' deepest things, or like most of them, you know, like their stuff. And they're slowly like revealing things like, I'm just like, you guys have this in common. Like there's things that are connecting where I'm like, I know this one person struggles with this type of anxiety disorder and I know someone else does, but they're both hiding it. And I'm like, when are they going to talk about it? Because then they're going to go like, I do that too. But I can't go like, I'm trying to like set my friends up. It's like, oh, it's almost like, setting someone up. Like, I know you'd love this guy and you should go on a blind date, but it's more for like OCD behaviors with my friends. I'm like, you guys both do this weird, quote unquote, weird thing. It's been really fun. I woke up this morning really congested. And whenever I go for like doctor's tests, I always get back that like you have a lot of inflammation, which never sounds good or feels good. But I felt very inflamed this morning. Just my tongue has like a sore on it, which, yeah, you'd think I'd be drinking Monster Energy drink. That's not the case. It's from hitting my tooth because my tongue is swollen because I ate so much baba ganoush last night. It's my favorite food. Baba ganoush is made with eggplant. And I also ate a lot of tomatoes. So there's a type of vegetable or whatever called nightshades, white potatoes, tomatoes, eggplant, bell peppers, chilies, garden huckleberries. Yeah, I just was eating so many garden huckleberries last night, and goji berries. And I'm looking up nightshade allergy, toxic chemicals within the plant, which protect it from molds and pests. And that's what I'm reacting to the alkaloids. Hives and skin rashes, don't have that. Itchiness, nope. Nausea, nope. Vomiting, nope. Excessive mucus production, hell yes. Achy muscles and joints. I mean, I thought I had COVID last night because I was feeling so bad. And inflammation. And my tongue swolled up. And it sucks because it's so ironic. That is literally my favorite food. And I can't have it anymore. And I just felt like shit this morning. But Noah busted out some leaves. She's like, I think it's an anti-inflammatory. And I was like, oh yeah, I've heard that before. And boom, I'm done. I feel so much better now. Still a little congested. Tomorrow it's so wild being here on vacation because I haven't been sleeping great. Like usually on vacation when I have time off from work where I'm really not working, I like to like sleep in, but I'm living with someone who is a rooster apparently. And Kirsten is we're roommates right now, and she is used to waking up at 5 a.m. to start training people. And so I've been waking up early. And we've been getting up early doing 8:30 breakfast. That's not Nikki on vacation, but I'm with a group. I want to get as much out of it as I can. And I feel exhausted at the end of this trip, but in a good way, because I've just been talking a lot and staying up and not sleeping enough, eating so well. But tomorrow I go to San Antonio for my kickoff to my tour on Friday night. And I think tickets are probably still, I don't check numbers. It's one of my flaws is like, I don't look into details of things at all. And because I'm too scared that no tickets will be sold. And so I'd rather not know. But that's not the case. I think they're selling very well. Tomorrow when I land in San Antonio, I'm meeting Anya and Matt, her boyfriend, Matt Pond, PA, singer-songwriter, my tour manager. My assistant, Jen, also my tour manager, Andrew, and Gleb Savchenko, my dance partner from Dancing with the Stars. He is going to choreograph a new dance to close out our show for us. We've been doing one that Sarah Lena, my friend, had choreographed a couple of years ago. And we need to move on from that and do a new one. And Gleb keeps writing me like, what kind of dance do you want to do? And I'm like, Gleb, we aren't good dancers. Make it silly, make it fun. I just want you to be there. I want to hang out and I want to like be in a practice space with you again and just have fun. And it's going to be very fun. That's why I'm doing it. Like, I don't really think we need a dance to close out the show, but it's just fun. And we were just talking about that at lunch or at breakfast about, you know, how, you know, a couple of the girls here are actresses that have, one just started acting. She was models and she was 13. Now she's like a couple of years ago, she's got into acting. And another, like Carlisle, has been doing stand-up and acting for a while, and they're both like kind of lamenting about the business. And we're just talking about, you know, how so much of things is luck and how do you even, with Carla, I was like, do you even like acting? She's like, well, I'd never gotten to do it, so I don't know, which is hilarious. But I was like, you got to find stuff. Hopefully, if you're lucky, and not everyone has this luxury, that, you know, you, because everyone was always like, Nick, you work so hard. And I've just never been able to let that sink in. And I know why. It's because my work doesn't feel like work because I enjoy it. And for me, work equals dread and like getting through something and being like done, like shutting my biology book and being like done, homework, now I can watch Dawson's Creek, you know, like there's no reward, there's no, you don't get to say you worked unless you hated it, and that's just not true. And you know, I was playing guitar yesterday, and Sarah Lynn and I kind of started playing guitar at the same time last year. We picked it up at the same time and we're like, yeah, let's get good at it, and I just practice more, and she's like, you're so good, oh my god, you're so good. And I was like, there's no natural talent going on here. There's no, honestly, Sarah Lena, it's just, I play sometimes 4 hours a day and I play every day and I bring it with me on the road. I don't skip a day because I'm obsessed and I like it. And so just find a way to like it. Stop, you know, for me, that's not taking guitar lessons and learning scales. I would not stick with that. And I'm probably not going to be a good enough guitarist because of it, but that's just not, that's not going to happen for me. I just learn songs I want to learn to feel my feelings. And that's the way I'm learning guitar. And it's definitely a slower process, but at least I'm enjoying the work, even though it's like shittier work. I'm like, you just need to find a way to enjoy the work because it all comes down to hours. How many hours you put into something. That is why I do this podcast 4 days a week. I mean, it's also so that I feel like I work every day, even though it doesn't feel like work because I love it. But I also recognize that if I want to be the best at something, I just know it's all about hours. Anyone that you look at, you can't, you really, I recommend this book, The Talent Code, because it talks about how talent is not what you think it is. Like, people are born with it. Beyonce is one of their like chapters of like, everyone thinks Beyonce was just born dancing and beautiful and confident and had that voice. And yes, she has probably musical blood. People like, you know, her family probably has generations of like being musical, and some people are predisposed, but then they talked about Beyonce was in a boot camp since she was very young. Like, we're talking single digit kid working hours and hours and hours a day. That's why gymnasts, these little gymnasts and athletes, when you want to be an Olympic athlete, you don't have a childhood. You just train all day. Like, Kirsten used to be a really good gymnast, still could be. And when her and I started gymnastics classes, I did not like it as much. I also wasn't naturally good at it. So I was just like, fuck this. She stayed with it. She started doing gymnastics. Suddenly my best friend couldn't hang out after school, 3 hours of practice every single day. And it's just like, that's because the adults running USA Gymnastics know that they have to turn, there's no other way to get good at gymnastics. You can't do 1 hour a day tumbling or one class a week. They know that if we're going to make this girl or any of these girls an Olympian before she starts her period, which is when she'll start, like Kirsten said, that the second she started her period, like a month later, she quit gymnastics because she was like, I'm a woman. And she was just like too voluptuous for the like vault. And they know, like, adults that are behind these, boy band, the Mickey Mouse Club, they're literally in Houston in this book, The Talent Code, there is a place you go, like a farm you go to, where you get good at singing and dancing and being a pop star. And Beyonce went to that place. A bunch of other people, I forget. I read the book years ago, and you know, I only read a third of it, and I was like, I get it. And Andre Agassi's book, he was like, tennis was my life. So these people that you go, you look at, and you just go, God, they're so good. It's just the hours they put in. And so I want to be Howard Stern someday. So I just realized, like, I can't be Howard Stern unless I do. He was on the radio every day for 5 hours for like, and still, you know, still most days, for decades. And so I can't do one podcast a week. I got to do it 4 days a week if this is something that I really want to do. And it is, because the older you get, the less you want to tour, the less you want to write material, the more you just want to be and do something that's easy, that allows you to have a life where you can indulge in things that actually bring you joy. And so, yeah, I'm setting myself up to have a radio career, broadcasting career, by just banking those hours. So yeah, if you're feel discouraged ever about someone else's talent and you're like, but we started at the same time or this, like, look at how many hours you put into it. It's not the same as that person's. And that's the only reason. And it's not about putting in those hours and just going like, oh, I don't want it. Find a way to make the practice work for you, or find a parent that forces you to do it before you have legal authority over yourself. And that's how you get good at things, essentially. Andrew, for instance, I just gave him as an example. I was baffled at how good, and you know, Andrew tells me how good he is at golf every day. And like, will either tell me like, oh, I hit this, and he'll tell me how other people hit. And I go, okay, Andrew's good. Like from these stats, I realize Andrew is a good, very good golfer. Where did this come from? I don't remember him golfing. And it turns out he was golfing all the time before I met him. He went through stages of life where he golfed just like this, hours and hours a day, for years. So there's an explanation for people's talent. It's not when you look at yourself and go, why can't I be like that? It's because they put in more time and you didn't see them put in the time. So you just assume they did everything you did. They didn't. They didn't. They didn't. Taylor Swift for me is one of them where I compare myself to her a lot and want to be her. And I'm like, oh my God, she's so magical. Like, yes, she was, had a childhood that it made, she had parents and like people around her that probably encouraged her to, I mean, my parents encouraged me to read, but she was a voracious reader. She journaled a lot. She was also like a dork that didn't have friends. So she would like, you know, be in her bedroom and journaling. She liked it. Like that was all. She was songwriting from the time she was 12. She was playing guitar. She like loved it early on. And that's why she's Taylor Swift. It's like, yes, some of that is natural and you're just born with it, but you can be born with it. And if you don't put in the hours, it ain't going to be nothing. So I don't know what I'm trying to say here. It's just like, stop comparing yourself to people that you think you know what they've put into it and you think it's the same as you. The only reason they're better is because they just found out a way to put more hours in. And because maybe they have a life that doesn't demand, maybe they were born with money, so they don't need to get a day job. So they can take that day job time and put more hours. And some of it's just not fair. But if you can find a way to fit in those hours, you're going to get as good as them. And that's the only thing differentiating you from the people that you listen to on the radio or the people that in your business that you go, God, I wish I could do that. I'm just never going to be that because I'm not. It's just, it's not, they're not special. They just did the work. So let's do the work today. Let's get Andrew in here. Andrew!
Are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking. Well, the weather is getting a lot warmer, and so your wardrobe probably needs an update. I know mine does, and it's so hard when you want to buy new stuff because you want it to last a long time, you want it to look really good, and you want it to, like, stand the test of time in terms of, like, fashion. At least that's what I want. And so that's why I love Quince, because Quince is all about effortless fashion that looks chic and timeless year-round. I'm talking premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. Washable silk top. They have so many chic jewelry pieces, like these globe boho hoops. I love those. You could just blindly click and end up with such wardrobe essentials. They're not wasting your time at Quince. I love the Quince dress I got. I'm trying to find it because I want to say the exact name of it, but it's like this long sleeve dress, but it's like a midi skirt. It's so cute. It's like silky feeling. It's just, I've told you about it before. Okay, there's so much cute stuff on here. I got to go and get back to the podcast, but you know what to do. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Nikki for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, quince.com/Nikki to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/Nikki. Oh my God, you guys, I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they are all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US, and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, I have the podcast to really vent about stuff that's been bothering me, but even that, I can't say some of the stuff I need to sometimes. And there's certain things you just really can't tell anyone, and that's when you need a therapist. They're just there to listen. They can handle it. They've heard it all before. They can tolerate it. And that's why I love therapists. Don't think that you have to get through anything you're dealing with alone. That is not the way being a human works. You need to tell someone. Please take this opportunity and check out BetterHelp because they will find you a therapist who will meet your needs. I've benefited so much from therapy of saying the darkest stuff I would never even say in the podcast. And I know you're like, wait a second, you leave dark stuff off the podcast? Yes, I get even darker, if you can believe it. So if you're starting of thinking giving therapy a try, try through BetterHelp. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. And it's online and you can leave your therapist at any point with no questions asked. So this is perfect for someone who's noncommittal, who's scared, who's never tried therapy before. Get whatever you've got off your chest. Get it off your chest. With BetterHelp, visit BetterHelp.com/Nikki Glaser today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Nikki Glaser.
All righty. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, Nick, what's going on?
Yeah.
How's it going in Chicago? Are you taking off soon?
Yeah, taking off after this. Ready to hit the road.
Yep.
So long, Chicago.
What was your last night with Brenna like? Like, what's the vibe? You're saying goodbye. When's the next time you're going to see each other? What are we looking at?
The vibe's good. She meant so much to my family. Last night we did a family dinner with my Aunt Donna, my Uncle Scott, my Aunt Lisa, my cousin Mikey, my cousin Sam. Like, literally, she met like 8 people, and she killed it, handled it like a champ. She liked my Aunt Donna, which was surprising because no one does. And, my aunt, like, whatever, it's a long history, but she just stares. You ever talk to someone who stares through your soul while they talk to you, and you're like, what are you looking?
Andrew, yeah. We know, I'm thinking about someone that we know of that does that.
But, so she.
Yeah, we know someone that, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about, where you're just like, and then you will look away and you can feel them still staring at you. Or you get nervous when you talk because they're just staring too intensely at you. And you're like, what I'm saying is not that important. Like, I'm talking about that I think I might have eczema on my neck.
Yeah.
You know, like, and they'll look at you like you're telling them about, like, your time overseas feeding starving children.
And you're
children.
Just literally saying that you got a coffee at Starbucks earlier. And they're like, what?
Yes.
What was that? It's like, no, I didn't kill your son.
Yeah.
Like, get away from me.
I get stage fright when those people look at me too intensely. Like, I just, like, I kind of, like, start mumbling and I just don't know what to say because I'm just like, it's too much pressure. You're looking at me too hard.
Nice, though, that, like, she liked Aunt Don, like, we got in the car and she's like, you know who I really like? I like your Aunt Donna. And I was like.
And then you were able to like Aunt Donna through her eyes.
No, I hate her more. No, I like Aunt Donna. She's a lot. But, I played golf yesterday. I tied my uncle, who I always let beat me, not on purpose, but just like he's the older guy. He's very competitive, extremely competitive, and he's very consistent, and he always beats me in golf. And yesterday I tied him, and I shot a 39 on the front nine. I literally broke 40 for the third time in my life.
And yes, like, congrats. Is this the first time you broke 40 since you've been playing this time?
Yeah.
In your life? Congrats.
So that felt really good. And so I had a great day yesterday. Played golf, went to dinner.
Could you have beaten him, but did you just tie him? Like, is tying to you like as far as you can go?
I don't.
Did you?
Maybe.
You maybe. Did. So you could have gotten 38 or 37?
Look, there was a ruling on the course where he changed the rule after he fucked up on a hole.
And you let it go because he's a multi-millionaire.
I mean, that doesn't help my fight.
I'm guessing he was paying for the stay out.
He bought me a shirt.
Did he
bought
really?
Me a shirt after the game, and I was like, all right, you know what? I'm glad we tied because this is a nice Peter Millar.
What
I
is
don't know,
it?
It's some golf shirt that's like a really nice quality. And then I got stains. I got pasta all over it at dinner later. So I showed him. But anyway, I said I love you.
Are you sad about leaving?
I said I love you this morning.
Oh, I knew it was coming. Oh my God. Wait, this morning. How did you do it?
I go, I got to get on the podcast. I need material. I love you. And then, no, we had morning intercourse, and I think we were like getting done. I wasn't an insider, but then
she got a 41 on this course.
Yes.
She was one over par with you always.
So she was on top of me, and I just was looking at her, and we were
during
no,
it.
Not daring, not daring, daring. Or during.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay, so she was on top of you for sex.
Yeah, after sex, and we were just cuddling, thinking about me leaving.
Why'd you have to tell us she was on top then?
I don't know.
If that wasn't the part where you said I love you.
I guess
you.
If I was looking down at her, it'd seem more Aunt Donna-like. where I'd be
But it wasn't then that you told her? It was after?
Yes, it was after sex. And then she was on top of me, and I just go, I love you. And she goes, I know you do, and I love you too. And she goes, there's been so many times I just wanted to say it. And I go, actually, this is the first time I felt it. So we had a really cute moment.
Yeah, it usually happens like that, where you're like, there's so, like, you want to say it so many times, and then you, like, you stop yourself, but it's just in the air, like, you can both feel it.
Yeah, and it felt good. It feels good. And yeah, no, I don't know. It was a great trip. I mean,
have you said that to anyone?
Just my girlfriend in college.
Even your mom? Okay. But, did she say it back?
Reluctantly. Or maybe to a guy behind me, and I just stood in between them. I just caught it.
She just said, I love you, too, and she was talking about the band. She's like, that's a way I can do it.
That's before iPods. What's going on with you? You guys look...
I want to hear, like, what are your feelings about, like... What's the plan? Everyone hears like, what's Andrew going to do? Like, are they going to stay together? I go, yeah.
Yeah, we're staying together.
They'll just take it day by day. When's the next time you'll see each other?
I just got to look at the schedule. No? I mean, probably, I'd say 3 weeks from now, I would try to make something happen, you know?
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah, I'm not trying to like overthink it. But, you know, we're not working like we're working.
Underthink it.
I'm underthinking it.
Yeah.
Which I normally under. I'm always under, except for pa. You know what I mean?
Yum, 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 yum.
So, yeah, I'm not, sure. Am I a little worried? But, you know, she could have moved to a city also that, like, I hated. Like, I love it here. Like, I have family here.
Mm.
So, like, I'm just, you know.
I could see you ending up in Chicago.
Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, it is a great town.
Yeah.
It's just so cold in the winter. I'm tired of fucking winters where it's cold.
I don't think, unless like in like 5 to 10 years from now, but I don't see that happen in the cards.
Yeah, take it day by day. I'm just like, I'm a little bit feeling anxious about just the COVID news.
I know, right?
Just becoming more, like, masks are back, like, you know, in our building the other day, it was like, masks are back on Monday, so, you know, we have to wear masks in the building, and it just seems like everyone's kind of back, it's just scaring me that, you know, there's a tour that I'm doing. There's just I'm a little bit better prepared for a lockdown again because I have a house or a place. But I'm just like, I haven't even been reading the news. I just wrote to Anya. I was like, because she always knows what's going on. I'm like, will you tell me what you think is going to happen? Mm-hmm. Even though, like, what does she know? But she, yeah, she assuaged my fears, but also increased them too. I don't know. What do you think?
From what I saw, the Delta variant is very contagious, but there are a lot of people vaccinated. So what could possibly happen is it could be a fast sweep, and then unvaccinated people actually get the antibodies, and then everybody is pretty much covered because they'll have the antibodies, people will be vaccinated, and life will go on, hopefully, praying.
Right.
That being said, the tour will probably be canceled, and we'll probably just end up laying in the living room with, like, candles lit and just playing Kumbaya.
It'll all be meant to be, regardless of what happens.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I think so.
This trip is coming to an end tomorrow. Everyone's already talking about, like, leaving, and I'm just like, can we just not yet? Like, I just hate the last day of a trip. It's almost like the last day of a trip isn't even a real day because everyone's thinking about packing and going home tomorrow and when we're going to do this and, like, just overthinking, and I'm just like, let's just all underthink it. Like, it's all going to be okay. We don't need to, like, obsess about, okay, like, oh, I got to pack later. It's just like, just, can we just be easy?
I know. And, I read a tweet the other day says, if you go on vacation, always take when you get home, take one day off too, which I thought was,
I think just add one day to whatever you think is the amount of days you want to spend, because it just will give you that extra, because the last day of vacation does not count almost. Mm-hmm. It's just like the resort is almost like over you being there. They're like, they can't even wait. They're already like salivating at you leaving and not being, I mean, we are so ridiculous, and none of us are drunk. That's the thing. It's like no one here is drinking. And so when we are obnoxious, we go to this pool every day. That's one of the sister hotels here. And like yesterday, the first day we went, we weren't loud. You know how drunk people are loud? We weren't loud. We were just being silly and laughing a lot. And you could just tell these couples on honeymoons fucking hated us. This guy looked at me with such disdain, waited for me to look over at him, and was just and I go, I feel like he might be friends with someone that I've like hurt or something, or like I did some bit that offended him. Like, it felt so personal because it was like, sorry that we're reminding you that your relationship is probably doomed because you're on your honeymoon and you're already bored with each other, and the excitement of getting married and all that stuff that made you feel like this was good, it's all setting in that like maybe you don't love her that much, and now you are like, and she's jealous that she is not with her girlfriends, and you're sensing that, and you're mad at her, and so you're sneering at me, you dick. So yesterday we showed up, and those same people were there, and we were just like, oh, they all hate us so much. Then we went to dinner, and then one of the couples walked in to the dinner place, and we were like, we bet they will just turn on a dime once they see us to walk out. Because we just, like, we're just having fun. We're doing, like, silly things. We're not trying to be hot. Yeah. We're being gross. We're being, like, I was doing butterfly the other day in the pool, and I just felt like, I felt so annoying doing it because it's just such an aggressive thing. But no one was in the pool except us. Yeah. But there's people laying out, and I wasn't splashing them, but I could just tell they were like pissed off that I was doing butterfly. And then we were pretending to be dogs that fell in the pool. Sarah Lena does a great impression of a dog that's just like, I don't want to be in the water. And just like the eyes go to the side, and it just like the dog paddles like and can't pay attention. We're like, it's okay, Bailey. It's okay. And then she got out and like just shakes around. Like, we were doing dog impressions. I mean, really, we were acting like children more than anything, but not even obnoxious children. People resent people having fun, and even I do when I'm on a vacation. I mean, I'm projecting. I've been on vacations before where my boyfriend and I aren't getting along, and I look at girls having fun, and I fucking hate them, but it's really because I hate that I'm not them.
Well, we were at, what is that hotel? The Roosevelt Hotel in L.A., and I remember we did a swim like competition of like, swimming freestyle, then backstroke, then underwater, and who could go the fastest. And it's like people looked at us like, because they're all kuh. Everyone at the pool's kuh.
Yeah.
And we're being.
You have to be kuh.
Some would say we're kuh because we're not caring about anyone else and we're being loud and whatever, but we're just having fun. Like, a pool is made to play Marco Polo. Like, that's what we've been doing our whole life. When did we stop Marco Polo in our life? Like, get over it.
It's just hearing people laugh loudly and just, I mean, I get it. Whenever I'm at like a restaurant and there's a table that's just screaming, it's usually though precipitated by drinking. And I just know that those people aren't even going to remember the times they're having because they're so drunk. And I'm just like, this is all for nothing. Shut up. But when it's, or people on a plane that are super drunk, yes, that are just loud, like, you just know a drunk person. They get so damn loud.
You can tell when...
The music last night was loud at this place, and I was like, I'm going to tell them to turn it down. And everyone at the table was kind of just like, oh, please don't. That's going to be so weird. And the guy couldn't have been nicer about it. Like, it was fine. Music is too loud in places.
Oh, we went, yeah.
And they
go,
this is that kind of place. And I go, well, it shouldn't be. People are eating dinner. There's no one dancing. This doesn't need to be this loud. And they're like, but that's kind of the vibe here. It's like, yeah, I know, but it's not, this is a bad business model. Like, people are trying to have, these are all families and, like, people wanting to talk during dinner. And there's, like, this, it's just so, I don't understand.
No, it's so funny you say that because we went to, there's a place called Viagra Triangle or Viagra Circle or something in Chicago where it's literally.
Oh, where old
men and girls with fake tits that are, like, in their, like, late 20s, whatever. And it's just, like, these old, like, tan, like, greasy-haired men that all look like, you know, like snakes in a Lamborghini.
Yes.
And which is a new movie coming out with Samuel L. Jackson. And they're all just like, ugh. And then we went into this place called Tavern on Rush, and we go up, and there's, like, seven fucking tables open outside, right? Like, and I go, hey, can we, you know, come in? You know, I'm here with a very pretty girl, too. It's not like I'm adding.
Yeah,
I look,
got,
I fit in. Look at me. I just don't.
Yes, you belong in Viagra Circle.
You take in a circle.
Wait, you take Roman or whatever. Like, you take
other guy. It's, well, Roman's the name of the brand.
Man, I can get you some Viagra here, by the way. Like, over the counter.
You probably get me
it's
horse Viagra I'm just down like, there.
It's nuts what I can get you down here.
So I go up to the maitre d' or whatever, and I feel bad for these girls because they're being told by their manager, like, no, we got to keep it exclusive. I was like, can I get a table? They're like, we don't have any outside. I'm like, there's fucking 45 tables, like, open. Mm. And so we could sit inside. We go inside, and it's 4 p.m., and the music's just, bum, 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 bum. And me and Brenna are just looking at each other, and we're like, you wanna leave? And we left, and it felt so fucking good to leave because in the past
so
I would have stayed maybe
to ask people to turn down music or leave a restaurant after they've already brought waters. They brought our waters, so what? Even if they brought your drinks, throw down a 20 and get the fuck out of there. Like, don't put. Businesses need to know when they're failing their consumer by making it a bad experience, and it when you ask someone to turn down the music. Honestly, people are so passive and so scared to speak up for themselves. You know, they'll have something in their food and they'll just be like, it's okay. Or they'll, so many times I've been at dinner with someone who gets the wrong thing and they don't eat it. And I go, what's going on? And they're like, they brought me the wrong thing, but I just don't want to be like a bother. And it's just like, if you were a waitress and someone said, oh, you brought me the wrong thing, would you take that personally and kill yourself? No, everyone can work with this. That you're not like a bad person because you got the wrong thing that... You know, like, just ask for what you need and absolutely walk out of a movie if it sucks. Within the first 30 minutes, walk out of a movie.
Have you ever walked out
back.
Of a movie?
No, the guy at all
what movie?
The
What's the last
time.
Movie you walked out of?
Horrible Bosses. The first one. And then I haven't gone to see really
Did you go
like,
by yourself?
That many movies
Who did you
since.
Go with?
Yeah. No, I went with my friend Holly, and we were just so insulted by how I was so insulted that these brilliant comedic actors had written a movie that was appealing to such dumb people, like just thinking I'm an idiot and like having to make jokes so dumb, having to make these characters so exaggerated. I felt insulted. I felt like being talked down to like a child, and I was just like, I don't want to, nothing about
how
this
long
is funny
in did
to me.
You
I hate
like,
it.
How long did you give it?
I just was like, first of all, if you have a horrible boss, quit your job. Why not kill your boss? Like, that's stupid. It was within 30 minutes. And I went to the thing, and I just was... And the guy at the box office didn't make the movie. It wasn't Jennifer Aniston in the box office. Like, I didn't have to... You know, like, the guy doesn't care. He's making minimum wage. He'll give you your money back. He doesn't fucking care. So, like, when you... And with a waitress at a restaurant, like, talk about what you need. Like, I honestly can't be friends with people after I see them just put their tail between their legs when they hate something and they just put up with it because they're paying for it. It's
I've
just
done
so
that
weird
so
to
many
me.
With like a bad haircut, I'll tip more for some reason because I like getting treated terrible.
I think it's because I've done it before too, yeah. And I just don't want to do it anymore.
One time I got a
it's
chicken
okay that you don't
burrito,
like a
movie. And it was and what happened was I got the wrong order. And so I felt bad, and so I changed the order. I was like 12 on a vacation with another family, and they brought out a chicken burrito, and I swear to God, it was ice cold, the chicken.
I ate chicken that was uncooked, too, when I was with Kirsten's family when I was 12, because I was scared of, like, her
yes.
family. And, her, and I go, I think this is bad, and it was literally
did
just
you get
a
sick?
Raw chicken breast.
Oh,
no,
I got,
but her
I got
mom
deathly
freaked
ill.
Out.
Deathly ill.
You
like,
did?
Deathly ill.
You got, like, salmonella?
Yeah, like, deathly ill. I was puking all night,
oh
and they
God,
left me
Andrew.
Too. By the way, in the room alone, which I don't even think about, but whatever.
Andrew.
But like, yeah, but like, I'm one to do that. I'm one to not complain and just eat it and be like, oh no, I like it anyway. So I'm gonna try to not do that anymore.
I think that like I'm sure people are listening, being like, I'm one of those people. Nikki would hate me. It's like I am one of those people too. I don't like to complain. I don't like to be a nuisance. But when you really break it down, the people that you're complaining to, as long as you do it with like. Hey, you know, like, I just don't like this. It wasn't what I actually wanted, and I'm so sorry. Like, just be nice about it, because there are people that complain, and they're horrible about it. Anyone that works in the service industry or retail, you know those people that, like, complain and think they deserve everything. This isn't what I'm telling you to do. A simple box office thing of, hey, I just bought a ticket for Horrible Bosses. It's horrible, horrible. Like, it's that, I just didn't like it. And the guy just is like, that's fine. It's
yeah.
You can do it, guys. You can stand up for yourselves, and you can, when you're, especially when you're paying for something. And then if the person tells you, well, like, because I've complained at some point, and they go, well, that's just the way it is. And I go, oh my God, you know what? I didn't read the fine print. You're right. This did say this, and this movie did tell me it was horrible. It's in the name. I should have known. Okay.
Who likes a boss?
I don't need my money back.
I don't need them.
Just be nice about
you know
it. You really can't. You're allowed to have opinions and not like things. You're allowed
real quick,
to.
Quick, I think it's like, we don't want to. This waiter that we will never see again, that we don't have, like, we care about people that we will. It's like on the golf course when some stranger's watching you hit a shot and you hit shitty because you're worried about the stranger that you'll never talk to again. His attitude or what he thinks of you, his disappointment in you, but we value
well,
it so much. It's weird.
You do,
no,
dude.
I'm not
because
alone.
You
I'm
got,
not alone on this by at all.
I know you're not, but I do not. Like, when I was picking up Luigi's poop with some leaves and you saw people watching me from this restaurant window, you ran away because you were so embarrassed. And I was just like, what is embarrassing about a girl that's not going to leave shit on the ground that forgot a bag? I'm not a bad person because I forgot a poop bag. It happens to everyone. If you're late for a flight and you go and you just, you know, all you would have to do is ask the people in line to get ahead. I've said this before probably, but it bears repeating. Just ask people. And people that give you tude about wanting to cut in line so you can get to your flight in time are you can just go, have you ever been late for something? If they give you tude, go, have you ever been late for something? And would you have liked someone to maybe give you? Everyone's been late. Everyone's
I know,
been,
but picking up shit with leaves.
But you could go, oh, I was late because I was hungover. I'm a piece of shit. Like, it doesn't matter. You didn't want to be late. Like, no one wants to be late. Just, people should be kind. And so why were you embarrassed for me picking up shit with
you? It's just, you don't see it often. You look, it's a crazy thing to look over.
But what would those people think of me? What would
nothing.
Happen?
Nothing. I get that.
But I'm just trying to
maybe
wonder where
I was
the fear
just
comes
embarrassed
from.
For you because you just.
But why be embarrassed because about that? I'm not trying to be antagonistic. I'm really trying to understand what about that, because I feel almost weird that I was not embarrassed at all.
Dude, you've gotten dog shit on your hand in front of me and be like, I got shit on my hand. Like, you just don't care about it. It's just something you're like, oh, I pick it up with leaves. Most likely this shit won't get on me.
Will someone think that I'm like, I eat poop if I get poop dog poop on my hands?
I don't know. You seem
like,
very
chill
about it.
I just don't understand what people would think. I would be way more. I would be way more embarrassed if I left shit on the ground than if I picked it up with my bare hand. But that's just me. Let's get to the
news. Apparently,
are you looking for some amazing TV to stream? Well, sink into your couch and indulge with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. We're talking some of the greatest comedies of all time. Absolute must-watch shows. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the crew in How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons of How I Met Your Mother are now streaming on Hulu right now. One of my favorite shows ever. And I mean, don't you want to know how he met their mother? Then go back home with the Dumfies, the Pritchetts, and the Pritchett Tuckers in Modern Family. Then you can start over with the Roses on Schitt's Creek. And then see what's up in the Kyle household in My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. I mean, can you even watch all of this? We think so. Head on over to Hulu and start streaming today. Now we're talking. Oh my God, you guys. I'm so excited that Don't Tell Comedy is sponsoring this podcast because they have like all of my favorite clips on Instagram Reels. I'm constantly discovering new comedians from these clips. And I always like, how do you even go to these shows? Where are they happening? Well, now I know because I have the information right here. You can go to one of these shows. Don't Tell Comedy are putting on the coolest comedy shows in the country. This isn't like a comedy club. This isn't a theater. These are small, unique venues like on rooftops, backyards, art galleries. If you're looking for a fun night out in your town, which it's probably in your town because these shows used to just be in LA and now they are all over the country, 150 cities in Canada, the US, and the UK. Don't Tell Comedy is the best thing for you to go out and explore and do. You're going to see amazing new comedians. You're going to see pop-ins from famous comedians. You've seen the clips online. Be a part of the experience live in person and do it on me, guys. Get tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and then use the code Nikki for 20% off your first show. 20% off. That's freaking good.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
You scrambling away that day, I was like, you're such a pussy. You're abandoning me because you're embarrassed that I'm picking up poop with a leaf.
I had to leave.
All right. You heard it here first. Yeah.
Having swells out there, everybody. Hoping to have all the swells, if you know what I mean. Having a great time. I know it's the last day of vacation.
Oh, my God.
But
my tongue is having the
here
swells.
Here we go. Swell it up. Okay, the internet is giving Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis heat after they said on a podcast that they don't believe in bathing their kids or themselves too much.
Okay.
What?
My friend wrote me yesterday asking me to ask all my girlfriends if we wash our vaginas with soap because she says she doesn't because it stings. And so she just uses water. And she always thought you're just supposed to use water. And I said, yes, I do wash my vagina with soap. I remember it stinging when I was a child in the bath. I hated washing my vagina because my parents would be like, wash everything. And I'd be like, it stings. But now it doesn't sting to wash my vagina with soap. Noah, do you wash your vagina with soap?
Yeah, I do. But I use like natural soaps.
Okay. But what about here in the where we don't have natural soaps?
Oh, I mean, yeah, of course. Yes, I have to. Otherwise, it like really stinks.
Yes, that makes sense. What about, okay, so they don't bathe their kids.
Here's the thing. They won't bathe their kids unless they, like, see dirt. Ashton Kutcher says he washes himself. He'll wash his armpits and his crotch daily, but nothing else ever. Only his armpits.
I literally, Ashton and I are the same. I don't wash my body. I just wash my crotch and my under and my pits. And then I shave my legs nearly every day.
because I'm hooking up. So I guess my legs get washed, but that's only to shave them. But there's no reason to wash your elbow unless it has poop on it because you were picking up some dog shit because you forgot your leaves.
Because it's fall. Oh, no, then there'd be a lot of leaves.
Yeah.
It's winter. It's
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't. How many people out there wash their back? I bet you every guy listening right now, if we took a poll, I would say 80% of guys don't wash their back. Your back has been fine your whole life. So
I've never washed my back. I've never washed my back in my life. I've never washed. I remember one time.
Some people have the back
guy
thing,
in my writer's,
the back clean. What are you doing?
Yeah. Some people are fastidious about being clean, and I would argue that you're doing, like, I was talking to someone about how you have your toothbrush in the shower on the floor in the by the drain, and they were like, oh my god, the germs. And I go, the germs are not an issue. That is probably cleaner than the one by your sink. It's just not a good look, more than anything. You know, it's just like, that just means you're not, like, taking care of yourself. You don't like your things. Like, but germs-wise, I bet a germologist could come in there and do one of those agar tests where they rub it on the gel and you see the mold. And I bet it would be less germs because you have water. And they go, but what about all the body stuff that's rubbing on your toothbrush? It's like, no, it goes down the drain with, like, and that's why I feel about washing my hair with shampoo. The shampoo runs down my back. That's enough. I don't need to scrub my back. What's happening to my back? If I have cum on my stomach, like, sometimes I have sex and it's like, or like sexual relations, and I get sweaty and, like, there's just spit and stuff, and then I'll really give myself a scrub. But no, I'm with Ashton and Mila on this one. And unless you start stinking, just pits. You can do pits and crotch. All of my showers take less than 2 minutes.
And then you read the article, and it's like, Kunis is like, I didn't have hot water growing up as a child, so I didn't shower very much anyway. And then she's like, I also wash my face twice a day. So it's like, it's not as absurd as the headline.
Yeah, you wash your face because you wear makeup, and that's dirt and, like, collects stuff. But who is getting sick from their thigh having...
But are women washing their face too
microscopic,
much?
Microscopic. I believe so.
You know
so.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Like... Even if you left makeup on tonight, I think, you know, Brenna has a system where it's like 15 different things. And it's like,
yeah,
I think you can over maybe do it where your face is like, what? This isn't natural. I put on.
Mine has been that way before, but now I'm down to, I wash my face, I put on a serum, and then I go to bed. Or in the morning, I wash my face, put on a serum, put on sunscreen.
Yeah.
And then that's
it. So you have one serum. What's the serum?
No more...
I'm sure the girls will want to know. Or.
I'm not even going to tell you because it's serious. I'm sorry, bestie.
Wait, what?
I don't want to say.
Why?
I don't want it to go off the market, and I just don't. It took me years and years
Whoa.
To find, and I just don't want to let anyone know.
Are you worried that it's going to oversell?
I'm sorry. I use it as lube. I use it as I use it for everything. And I do. I worry that it's going to sell out, or the price will go up, or, Yeah, I don't know. This is me being, like, not a good person by not letting you know, but I just don't want to let you know.
Oh, my God. Not even a hint?
I let Brenna
know. Oh, that's cool. Maybe she...
Brenna got it.
Oh. So, yeah. Okay,
right, next story.
Man, people are going to be going nuts.
Okay, listen, besties, will you just DM? DM. The thing is, I won't be able to catch up with how many people... Okay, I'll tell you what it is. One time, and you're not going to be able to write me again and go, what was it again? I get so many messages about, what was the book to quit drinking? Google Nikki Glaser quit drinking book. Like, we don't need to have a discussion about this, but I do understand there's sometimes on podcasts where you hear it and then you don't write it down. It's called The Ordinary Plant Squalane. Okay? There's my secret. Y'all can have it because Andrew asked, and I am now you're going to surge the price up and it's going to bug me. So I hope it works for you. The Ordinary Plant Squalane, not the Hemi Squalane, the Plant Squalane.
You did a
Are
good
you happy?
Service.
Next
you
story.
Did a good thing.
I know. I'm trying to be, like, more honest. And all of my apprehensions about telling people is that I don't want people to be... Then now everyone's going to get, like, have good skin. And I want to be... I already have such shitty skin that I need an advantage. And now everyone's going to have this advantage. And that's my fear. But the thing is, I do have good skin. And it's not from the squalane necessarily. It's from me, like, eating well and... not picking up my skin and stuff like that. But yes, this stuff is great, and you can use it as lube.
I feel I'm really happy you did that. People turning.
I mean, I had to. People were going to. I would literally stop listening to a podcast that a girl claimed to be my best friend and that she wouldn't tell me the fucking $8 squalane that she buys
it's not
from
even
the Ordinary
expensive.
In bulk. I'm about, before this comes out, I'm about to order about 1,700 of them. So good luck, bitches. I'm just kidding. But yeah, I would get it from, you can get it on Amazon or The Ordinary, and it's like $8. It's so cheap, and it's, I use it on everything. It's like a, it's just something you could put on underneath your night creams, underneath your moisturizers, and it's like, it's more hydrating than oil, and it doesn't have an oily, like it won't, it does kind of sometimes stain things, but not as much as an oil, and it just goes on really glossy and fresh, and every time anyone's like, oh my God, you look amazing, I'm like, all I have on is a squalane. It's like, makes you look really greasy, but in a good way.
All right, people turning to music in the pandemic showed researchers that the same social brain networks activated when making music are also involved in social processes, understanding others, empathizing, empathizing and coordinating with others. All of these natural...
What did you just read? I mean, are you reading the ingredients to the plant squalene? It sounds like you're reading, like you're one of those guys that's doing the...
It's such a long headline, Noah. We should have talked about this.
For a antidepressant. Side effects include... Consult a doctor. It was like that much.
Oh, I read it wrong. It says music is good.
Wait, can I just... So if you... Making music... It triggers the same part in your brain that socializing does.
Yes.
Is that what it, is
yeah,
that what
it
says?
Connect, it connects okay. us with others. Yes.
Absolutely. When I watched that songwriting YouTube thing that was like, how to write a song, the TED Talk that it's talking about, Sarah Lena wrote a song because she heard the podcast that I talked about it. She wrote a song called Standing by a Wall. Or it was like, I don't know, it was good. But anyway, she, in the thing, they said that songs are stories. They're just meant before we were able to write things down and had like before we could write something down, before Gutenberg, Steve Gutenberg, the actor, and how he was able to tell stories. I meant the printing press. But before we had able to do it, songs were able, you could memorize them and then share stories through song, which is easier than just memorizing something that doesn't have a rhythm to it. So yeah, it makes sense. It's a social thing, and it's meant to like
Gutenberg
warn others about.
Was like
about...
a Swedish producer. They do everything.
Oh,
I yeah.
But yeah, they're like all story. Like your favorite. Your favorite songs are like stories. I would say, and like
simple stories. Yeah.
Like, what's your what is your favorite song? Andrew? Or one of them. Let's just go through. Like,
I would say Clay Pigeons by Blaze Foley, but he's also rewritten or redone by John Prine. Is probably my favorite song.
And what about that song resonates with you? Or you like
it's
it
just
so
a story about a guy that isn't happy of where he's at, and so he's gonna go back to Texas and like kind of just figure out his life. It's just a very simple thing, and about him just trying to find happiness in the simple things.
Did you discover the song at a point in your life where you were maybe in that?
For sure.
Like, did it?
For sure. Yeah, yeah. I think.
Because some people like, you know.
I think when you're in New York City and you listen to a song about a hometown, sometimes it will resonate with me. Like, just a simple song. I just want easy living. It's like, I just wanted to get away from things. And I think songs can do that for you. They can bring you home, I guess. I know it sounds cheesy, but.
You know, I asked you this because I think you have the same, like, attraction to certain songs that I do. It's like, oh, because it says something that is very, it articulates your exact feeling. It's like you like kind of country folk, like specific lyrics that will like evoke feelings about your own life that you can project your own life onto. Whereas some people like techno or metal, but like metal songs where the lyrics are raw, shaw, shaw, like I don't understand liking those because it doesn't, the lyrics don't tell a story to me, but I guess the anger and the like, what's the attraction to that kind of music, Noah?
I guess for me, like a lot of the lyrics were about like rebellion and stuff like that. So, and the music is, it does project emotion too. Like it goes with my rage or like anger, and it's a release.
That makes sense of it being just the growl you want to make. Like when you're that, you like that, yeah, the that makes
but
sense.
But what do you listen to
it.
When you're, I mean, I guess I listen to hard rap when I want to work out, you know, I'll listen to like, you know, Kanye or G.
Do you picture yourself as a rapper? Like, I just think that my relationship with music is so based upon me being able to pretend I'm in the music video.
But when you want to get
it's,
amped
it's
up,
it's just a weird
if
thing
you're
I would
angry
do in my whole life.
And you want to even double down on that anger, like, Noah, listen.
I listen to Love the Way You Lie by Eminem yeah. and Rihanna, but generally it depends on what I'm angry about. You know, like if I'm mad at my dad, I want to listen to the Kelly Clarkson Because of You. I want to find a song that's about being mad at your dad, or I want to find a song that I can, or I'll change the lyrics to a song to make it make sense for me a little bit more. Cause sometimes there are songs about women and I'm like, oh, I want it to be about a man. So that, like, I always pick a song, but generally I always pick a song that if you were shooting the scene in which I was listening to, it would be a perfect music video for that song.
Interesting. Yeah, no, I think I'm similar in those ways. I mean, I never listen to music like outside of what my emotion is at the time. Like,
me neither.
You know, it's just weird when you're like sad and depressed and then you throw on like a heavy, I don't know, like fucking Metallica would just be
Although,
weird to me.
They do say that wallowing and like when you're depressed and listening to depressed music makes you more depressed and you should actually try to do the opposite. I will say that I typed in happy
like on podcasts, you know how they have like you could browse categories and I've typed in like happy, make you smile, like the cheesiest like shit. And it's just like putting your tongue in the mirror and shaking never 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 to you clearer.
Oh, I put on you know, for 4th of July when Marion was having you know, I was taking care of Marion over that weekend. I went on Spotify and just wrote in like soothing dog, and it was like so many soothing dog songs. There was playlists for soothing dogs, and now I listen to it all the time because it was like so soothing for me. I guess I'm a dog. I mean, I was yesterday when I was pretending to be one in the pool. But there's this thing that I saw on the subreddit for Taylor Swift last night that was like, what'd you guys get on the fan? Oh, here it is. Prove your stardom. See if you've got what it takes to be today's top fan. So you go to Spotify and it comes up Taylor Swift for me because it knows. So they're doing this new thing on Spotify, kind of like end of the year lists. And everyone on Taylor Swift was like, what'd you guys get for today's top fan? And I'm going, what the fuck is this? And so I'm about to find out. Last night I did see it and I just want to. Oh, okay. So it's saying today's top fans and it's like taking me through this thing. Okay, I did sign in, you bitches. Hold on, you guys. I'm so sorry. Fuck. Wait, why is it making that noise? Where's the noise coming from? Oh, it's coming from my phone into the thing. I'm so stupid. Oh, my God. Wait, why is this making me? Just let me log in.
That felt like Zoolander when they were like looking for the files in the computer.
I don't even know what's happening anymore. I'm just going to get out of this. I'm sorry. Yeah, well, here's soothing music for dogs. I will say that I went to it, and I'm in the top 1% of Taylor Swift fans.
Yes.
Which made me feel really, really good.
It'd be weird if you weren't. Imagine.
Well, everyone else in the subreddit, some of them are like, I'm 7%, I'm 5%, and these bitches are posting every day. So I was like, wow, even with Taylor Swift fans, I'm a little bit more intense. And I think it was 40% of the music I listen to is Taylor Swift, and other girls in the site were getting like 10%. I'm like, I am more obsessed than these obsessed girls. It's a weird.
I was trying to get you into Maggie Rogers to get you another singer songwriter, like going in your
I know my dad tried to do that with Casey Musgraves, and I was like, Dad, don't do this. I like her, and Maggie Rogers, I did like, but I just yesterday
dad,
we were playing that Esther Perel game.
Don't do this, Dad.
Dad,
I am 1%.
Please don't do this to me.
I'll go down to 3%.
He's like, she's a better songwriter than Taylor Swift, and I was like, Dad, I am not gonna like. We got into such a big fight, and I'm like, you don't even know that much of Casey Musgraves. I know the whole Taylor Swift catalog, like, and. Now I will fight my dad and say that Taylor Swift is as good as the Beatles. And he'd disown me, but I would argue someone on that. And I'm a huge Beatles fan, but, yeah, it's like you tried to get me into Maggie Rogers. It's just not going to happen. Yesterday we did a question game and it was like, share something joyful. And the category was like, share something joyful. And then it was like something you would have told yourself in high school. And I was like, just hold out for a girl named Taylor Swift. It was just me whispering to myself, just wait for Taylor Swift. She will make you feel like I'm so grateful that I didn't even know that it was possible to have an artist speak to you so much. Like I feel like I have a, you know, when people are like disabled and they're like, I'm grateful for it. Like, I feel like my obsession with Taylor Swift is a disability. It's a weird thing. It's like, it's something's wrong with my brain, but I'm grateful for it because I get to experience an obsession that most people don't. Most girls do maybe when they're in eighth grade and then it goes away, but mine persists and I feel like it keeps me young. Why do I care?
Why do I care?
Why do you care? Let's find out. Tyler Cameron reveals that he lost his virginity in his mom's bed.
Tyler Cameron was from The Bachelorette. He was on Hannah's season. He was the hottest guy that's ever been on that show. He ended up dating Gigi Hadid like right after the show. He's like a supermodel. He's a guy you see in like perfume ads, like Eternity ads. He's so hot. He lost his virginity in his mom's
bed. He lost his virginity in his mom's bed. And then the girl that he lost his virginity to, he actually ghosted because he had so much anxiety afterwards. And she called him out on Facebook, like, you hooked up with me and then you stopped talking to me. You're a piece of shit. But really, you know, he wasn't ghosting. He was just afraid. And I think that happens a lot with guys. It happens a lot with me. Or it used to, at least, where I would hook up.
I mean, the Sephora incident is one of the most famous.
Yeah, where I pretended I was invisible at a Sephora with a girl that I made out with. And I wasn't invisible. I was very visible because I was right behind her in line.
He was invisible. I want everyone to understand what happened here. He made out with a girl drunkenly. At some point in the future, near future, he was at Sephora and in line in front of you or behind you. Doesn't matter.
She was close enough.
She was there. And you, instead of just like maybe avoiding eye contact or like being on your phone and acting, you said, "I'm invisible."
Yeah, I turned into the,
and you convinced yourself she couldn't see.
Yeah, I turned
you.
Into the boy from Big Daddy. And he's like, "I'm right here. I'm right here." Oh, yeah.
What were you thinking?
I wasn't. I was obviously like, having an anxiety attack, I get, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, me and, you know, when you're a good looking man like me and Tyler, it's just tough, you know, when you hook up and women are just so.
It makes sense, though. I think this is going to be the new defense when guys get Me Too'd. It's like, I was having anxiety. That's why I told you that you couldn't work here unless you blew me.
It is such a good move.
No, I believe it, though. I believe it, though, because, you know, I've been hurt by guys in the past where I'm like, you ghosted me. And, you know, one guy, whether or not he was lying, said, like, I told you too many things and I felt really embarrassed at how vulnerable that you got me to be in conversation. And I just didn't want to talk. It was like a night where we like, you know, you would get connected because of whatever. You just feel comfortable enough to share. I asked the right questions, made him feel comfortable. And then it's like he felt like it was almost like running into his therapist going on a date with his therapist. And he was like, I just couldn't see you again because you knew all these things. And he was probably so disconnected when he was sharing them that he couldn't see that I didn't care and that I wasn't he couldn't even remember my response and probably invented it in his mind. Like, I can't be with someone who knows these things that I've never told anyone. And that's why you shouldn't psychoanalyze guys you like, even if you
after
can,
they take an Ambien.
Or, yeah, exactly. Or you know, or I want to be with someone who will be able to handle that and can tell me those things and look at me the next day and not feel like
it
you
is
know,
interesting.
But him ghosting me was not because I wasn't pretty or what. I mean, it could have been that too, but I was relieved by his explanation eventually.
I wonder if I wonder why guys don't want to keep things on the surface. I mean, so many people want to just keep things on the surface until maybe forever. You know, like what? Yeah. I wonder what it is about, like, you knowing his deepest, darkest secrets or whatever makes him like uncomfortable with that, and why?
Because it's almost like when you're drunk and you do something like that you wouldn't normally do if you weren't drunk, and then you don't want to talk to that person again because they saw you say something or confess something, or like, even though it's true, you just, whether or not this person was drunk or on Ambien, I truly have gotten people's dead sober to reveal things to me that they've never told anyone. And even in, like, you know, you could just be in like an intimate, like in a bedroom setting and say something, and then the next day, it's like with sex too. Like, some people don't want to talk about sex because it's so vulnerable and you look like an animal, your skin is flapping around and you're like panting and making weird noises, your fart sounds are coming when your chest compress, and like, or like you're queefing, you might shit on someone, like, and then you put on clothes and you just, I mean, I did it in my first half hour special. I don't understand why people have sex and then they put on clothes and they're like, that never happened. And you just walk around and you put on a turtleneck and you're like, yeah, I didn't suck any dicks last night. I'm wearing a turtleneck. And it's like, why do we have to separate? Why can't we talk about sucking dicks and outside of the bedroom? Why is it so shameful? And I wish everyone could be that trans and just be themselves. And that's what I feel close when someone tells me something they never told anyone. And I just am attracted to vulnerability. But a lot of men feel like that is a turnoff. because they've been conditioned by society to never feel their feelings. So they should think they, I mean,
I do think like
makes sense that they feel that way.
It was interesting. I forget who I was talking to, but she's like, yeah, you can share all your like deepest secrets or whatever, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're connected with your feelings. You know what I mean? Like some guys can be like, yeah, when I was 7, you know, I got ran over by a tractor and my dad was cheating on my mom. It doesn't mean that just because he's opening up to you, he could be opening up for the wrong reasons to just, you know, get laid too. So it's like, you know, some people are like, wow, he's so brave for sharing that story. And it's like, but that doesn't mean you're really connected to the story.
And if you're not able to look at the things that happened to you, I was beaten as a child, I was molested, but you're not able to see how that has impacted your life now and make those connections. You might be able to admit that that happened to you, but if you're not realizing how those things affect your life now, then it's not really even worth it to me. It's nice that you're able to talk about it, but it's not, that's not what I want from you. I just want everyone to like let themselves off the hook a little bit for the stuff that they do based on the stuff from their past. So if you're able to connect those, that's like very hot, but that takes, it takes a lot of work, you know, and that's why I've stopped going to therapy, because I want men to catch up. Let's get to the game. Today's wild card game is literally a wild card game. We're going to play the game that I talked about earlier that I played with my friends yesterday that got someone to cry, to reveal things they've never revealed. Like, we were doing this all at a pool, Andrew, where people, the same pool where people were hating us. We were playing this game where we all started, we had the best conversations because of this game. It's called Where Should We Begin? Noah bought it. And these are the two cards we're going to do. So you pick up one, the main card, which is share something unbelievable. And this is a storytelling game. So each of us are going to share something unbelievable, okay? And then the way we have to start the story is this card. I make too big of a deal about blank. It has to be something unbelievable. Okay, this is tough. I make too big a deal out of, and then the thing has to be something unbelievable.
That you wouldn't believe of something true?
Like that someone might find unbelievable, or like, you know, the word unbelievable can mean a lot of things. So your interpretation of that word, I guess.
No, you want to go? Or I Nick, you want to go first?
Make too big of a deal. Whoever gets one first. I make too big a deal. I make too big of a deal out of. Oh, I mean, prime example. I make too big of a deal out of things I've found that really work for me. And I want to keep them secret from other people because I feel like I'm just naturally worse than everyone. And so when I find a serum that works for me, I want to keep it because if everyone gets it, then everyone who naturally is already better than me is going to be better than me with the serum. The serum was only getting me up to like be a little bit better. And it was my secret. And my fear, that fear is truly unbelievable because it's unfounded and it's and it seems so petty for someone who is so aware of and wants to make people's lives better, that to me, that is an unbelievable trait about me, that I'm still trying to harbor these beauty secrets so I have a leg up because I feel so inherently ugly and less than everyone else. That's
mine. I wonder what makes you so competitive in certain ways. What do you think it, what happened?
It's not competitive. I mean, is that competitive?
Yeah, I think so. No, it doesn't think so. Maybe not in this way. Maybe this is just like in general, maybe.
Because I just told you, I feel like I was born not naturally talented, not beautiful, not anything. And so I have to work for it and spend years trying different serums and like put on the work. And then some beautiful girl who's already looks like a model, has good skin, just listens to one podcast. And now she gets this thing
for $8
that I've worked so hard because I'm ugly to find. I'm speaking from my worst self here. I don't think I'm ugly, but that it all comes from feeling like I'm ugly and not as good as other people. That's why I'm competitive, because because I just don't like myself. And so if I win things, then that gives me a sense of self-worth. And if I'm like have good skin, that'll mean that I'm not a bad person or whatever. Yeah. Because I mean, you're competitive, but not in the same way as me.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know.
You asked that like you're like, why are you so like you're not competitive?
No, I didn't mean.
And I'm not accusing you, but I think it's a different kind of off
as a judgment. I was just wondering, like, what drives your competitiveness? Because I do think,
because being hot gets men to like you, and when men like you, they give you things and money and things, and I want those things, and I want to survive. That's why I'm competitive. I want to survive, and I want my species, mainly my genome, to survive. That's why. And it literally is survival of the fittest in the animal kingdom. So to survive, you got to be the fittest equals you got to be competitive, I think. So it all checks out.
What was the line? I'm sorry. What was the line?
It is share something unbelievable. I make too big of a deal about.
I probably make too big of a deal out of me playing golf, and that it's unbelievable that I think if I really do keep this up, I could possibly be on the senior tour when I'm 50.
No, I don't think that's unbelievable, but yes, it seems like a big dream.
I was talking,
but I don't think it's unbelievable.
So my
yet.
Cousin Mikey, he shot a 74 and a 76, which is, he's lights out. He's an extremely good golfer. And I was talking to my uncle about it. I was like, I really think if Mikey's only like 29, I was like, I really think if he like really like drove himself and was driven, and he has the talent. And my uncle right away like completely knocked it down. He goes, oh, I wouldn't tell him that. And I wouldn't. Yeah. He's like, there's guys that are scratched that wouldn't even sniff a tournament. And I was like, what is this negativity?
Is that his son?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. This guy, your uncle's a good golfer, doesn't want his son to be better, sees that he has the potential to be better.
He's already better.
Is discouraging.
Yeah, it's just weird.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just weird. It's like that
thought process.
Is like, no, there was a time when a guy was worse than him who's on tour. You know what I mean? Like, there was a time when
people just want everyone to, this is me not telling people how to get the squalane. It's like, you didn't hear my opening, but it was all about like, it only comes down to practice. No one is naturally talented. It's so few people that are actually just born talented. The most successful talented people are the ones that put in the most hours.
Dude, the best golfer
right now.
So you're
putting in crazy hours.
Is 5'7", 140 pounds.
I bet you anything he's put in the most hours.
He has. He was on a golf course every single day. And I'm sure his parents never told him once that he couldn't be a tour pro.
Or they did
True.
All the time.
That's a good
maybe.
Point. That's
you know?
A good point.
This guy is his own person, and he can probably take that. You know, a lot of people are like, Lady Gaga went to sound concerts. Like, no one ever believed in me. They said I couldn't do it. And it was just like, I don't think that's true, but okay, I'm sure you were spurred on because people said you couldn't. Noah, do you have an answer to this question?
I think I make too big of a deal about how I present, and a lot of that is like if someone is coming over or whatever, like even if it's a friend, like my house has to look really neat. I have to like hide any flaw. And even like with this vacation, like I had this overwhelming sense of like I have to buy new clothes, everything has to look new, and I have to look crisp and, you know, like presentable to into society. And it's like so stupid, but I always have that. You know, like when I'm anticipating seeing someone or bringing someone into my home.
I have the same thing, and it's worn off for me because I've gone on enough of these girls' trips that I know that I wear the same thing every day, and so does everyone else. But yes, I have that too. And the thing of people coming over your house, I just let go of that because I just know that my messes aren't like indicative of me being like, there's not blood everywhere, or there's not like, maybe there's like hummus containers that I'm like, oh, the people will know I binged on hummus last night. That's a little embarrassing. Like, and then I'll have to explain it or something. But generally, now the other day I was having this guy that I'm hooking up with coming over, and I was like, oh, I need to clean for him. And then I was just like, I'm looking at the mess in my room. I go, all of this is explicable. Is it you could explain it, and none of it indicates that I'm a bad person or an addict or like just like almost hiding my messes now, unless I put like, I can't throw things away in a closet and shut the door. That feels like I'm lying. But if I put it away in a neat way, then it's like, okay, that's authentic. But like hiding things like messes and like cleaning up fast always makes me feel like I'm a drug addict or like that I'm lying. And then it makes me feel like I hate myself because if I open that closet door, that's like all my shame. And so it's been easier for me to just go to look at mess and go, yeah, there's like toilet paper on the floor, because sometimes I literally miss the toilet seat and I just like pee and I wipe and I toss it behind me and it's on the floor. And that doesn't mean I'm a bad person. Like, it doesn't mean I'm gross or that I like don't take care of myself or I can't be a good mom or a good wife or like all these things I fear. It just means I sometimes don't care about toilet paper hitting the floor. I just I don't look behind me after I pee.
Noah, I feel like, yeah, you gotta hide. You know, you're like, you know, you just, what, but anyways,
wait, hold on. Before you even came to my hotel room, like, we didn't get room service yet. And I was like, oh no, I have to clean up my room because Nikki's coming over and like organize everything. And then I was like, Noah, what are you doing? This is not real.
Yeah, you just like put the sheet over, like you just like close your sheet, like you like put your bedspread back over. But I don't like, I would, and that's me, I'm not very observant, so I wouldn't notice a mess. There are times where I go over to someone's house, and it's true. Like, I've told you guys about someone's house I went to that I thought would be like a normal house, and it was a dump, and it was like trash everywhere. And he didn't apologize for it. He wasn't like, sorry, it's bad, I didn't have time. It was, and that to me, I go, this person is suffering with a mental illness. And it was a little embarrassing on his, and I was a little judgmental. But that was because the filth was at a level where it was like, this is almost uninhabitable. This is bugs. This is things. These are things that like make me realize you, the person you present as is not the person that I'm seeing. And it's weird that you weren't able to address that. It's like if you walk into someone's place and they go, it's messy, sorry, then I'll let anything go.
I do
like I didn't have to. I get that.
I'm trying to figure out though. It's like with Noah with this trip, right? You felt like you were like worried about buying new stuff and whatever. And I feel like sometimes as people, like if we don't anticipate something being bigger than it is, then it's not important to us. And I feel like. I don't know. I feel like there's like Brenna with her new job here in Chicago. She's like, I got to get on the train. I got to figure out how to get there. I don't know what I'm going to wear to work. And then she goes to work. She comes back and she's like, yeah, it was whatever. But like we anticipate these things and we build them up to make it seem like maybe our lives are important. You know what I mean? Like trip.
That makes sense.
But how do you make it seem still important while not having the you know, the anxiety of like, I need this. I need to present myself this.
I even regret not buying a couple new outfits because it is fun when we get dressed for dinner and then everyone shows up and everyone compliments each other. Like, that dress is cute. That's this. And like, no one will say anything about mine. I go, oh God, they've all seen this before. It would be fun to get a compliment. Final thought. That is why many years ago, I banned compliments from my girlfriends. Like, I don't want compliments about my looks. I don't want you to say, oh my God, you look really pretty today. Oh my God, I like your hair. Oh, I love that shirt. I love that outfit. And because when they didn't do it, I felt so sad because it was just like something that I then, like, the lack of it meant I was worthless as opposed to their mind is elsewhere and they didn't pay attention to my new shirt. So now when I said don't ever say it, I always just assume they think I look great and they're just not saying it to respect me. And like even last night, there was a lot of compliments going around. I was like, God, no one's told me I look great this trip. And I was like, oh my God, because you told them all not to. It's gotten around and it was so freeing. I was just like, I'm so glad I did that because whether or not that's true, that protected me in that moment from feeling ridiculed, from feeling bad. And like, and I'm with the hottest girls ever. Like every girl I'm with has something about her body that I would murder you to have. Like literally, there's every single one of these girls has something that I can go, why isn't my body like that? Why can't I look like that? Why can't my skin look like that? Why aren't my eyes like that? Why isn't my hair like that? Every single one of them. And I've had those moments throughout the whole trip of like, God, she's just so effortlessly gorgeous. Yesterday, there was a picture of Noah that really triggered me. And I was like, I can't look at this because Noah isn't even trying to be a model. And I was trying to be a model. And she looks like a model. And even this morning, I went to breakfast and Carlisle was like, Noah, that picture of you. And I'm like, right? I was like, I couldn't look at it because I was just like so jealous. And it's like that I've decided to just forego. Like I really... So that's why sometimes I just don't want to wear makeup and I want to wear ugly clothes. And whenever I pick out a cute outfit, unless I'm being styled by my stylist, if I'm putting together a cute outfit, especially with girlfriends, I will throw one thing into it that looks a little shitty. There's something about me that I can't have the whole thing look good because it's trying too hard. And if I fail,
what would be an example of that?
I'm not good at it.
What would be an example of that?
So I'll have a really cute outfit. I'll have a top that's brand new that is really trendy and like stands out and everyone's like, oh my God, that's a fun top. And then I'll have shorts that perfectly go with it. And then I'll wear a shitty pair of flip-flops. Or
you'll pick up dog
shit with leaves.
I will
have really clean gym shoes with old Old Navy workout shorts and a Lululemon really cute top. But the Old Navy workout shorts are going to be shit. So that if someone doesn't compliment my outfit, I can blame it on the Old Navy workout shorts or the flip-flops. But if I try head to toe to look amazing, that was the thing that bothered me when I first started getting hair and makeup done was that you have two people working on you that are the pros at what they do and you look as good as you can ever look. And sometimes it's not good enough. And it's just like, I always want to leave room for improvement or room to let myself off the hook for not getting the love I deserve. Oh, it's because I wore that shitty fanny pack with my outfit. Yeah,
it's
like
so
I wear
funny.
This shitty fanny pack everywhere with cute outfits and it ruins my outfit. But that gives me
defense.
Yeah,
I had the same kind of fears with getting help and going to therapy and stuff because I was like, at least now I have an excuse for why I'm not successful or I'm not my best self. Like, but once you figure things out and you are your best self and then you're not enough, that hurts almost worse.
Yeah. When you get done with hair and makeup and you're like, but I'm still not Gisele Bündchen or whatever.
But I put
it
through all this effort. It's like, yeah.
It really bums me out. So I always leave myself a little bit of an excuse. Like there are times sometimes when I'm like running and I'm trying to beat my time from the day before or something, you know, when I used to run against myself competitively. Which sounds ridiculous, but it's so true.
Do it. Yeah, we all
I
do
used
it.
To sometimes like throw the end of the race because I just could tell that I wasn't going to beat my time. So I just might as well really unbeat it so that I don't even have to consider that as a contender. Like I wasn't really trying. You know, it's
or
just
you
like,
do so well, then you know you won't be able to beat it the next time. So you don't do too good because then you can't beat yourself.
Yeah. Yes.
Jesus.
Or your uncle's paying for you to play golf. So you don't and you want him to pay the next time you come in town. So you throw the last hole. No, I was talking about it yesterday with, because Sarah Lena's like, you're so good at guitar and you're going to be a singer. So I need to do that, girl. I need to do that. We started guitar around the same time. And I think she's feeling like, why am I not that good? And I go, it's because I put in more hours with guitar. But Sarah Lena, there's more stuff I could be doing. Like I want to be a singer songwriter. I keep talking about it. And like, I'm going to be one. Yet I will not take singing lessons because I'm scared they're going to say, you smoke too much pot. You need to, your voice, you're ruining your voice. There might be nodules on your voice. Let's go get you tests. Oh my God, there are nodules. You have to not talk for a year or something. Like I live in fear of like, I don't really do all the things that I want to do to reach my dreams because I'm scared of not being naturally good at them. When really, like I said at the top of the show, it's all about practice and like, you aren't going to be good right out the gate. And I'm so scared. I'd rather not know that I'm not
good.
Well,
you don't need to be perfect.
Or that I need to stop smoking.
I mean, I know it sounds cheesy, but you don't have to be perfect. You're just going to be great in your own way. And that's perfect, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I always remember Bob Dylan sounds like absolute garbage. And he's the most famous. And like a lot of his songs were definitely written on speed and like because he was so drugged out and on coke. And like that's why his songs were like 40 minutes long sometimes with like a million verses. And he like whenever I get down about not sounding like Ariana Grande, like I'll never be able to sound like her or even Taylor Swift for that matter. I always go, well, Bob Dylan gets away with it. It's like, okay, then I can
do
anything.
Anything. I mean, that one guy fucking sounded like an ashtray.
Oh, yeah. Lou Reed. Was it Lou Reed?
Well, he did. And then that other guy, goddamn. Yeah.
Remember that book that is Kissing a Girl Who Smokes Like Licking an Ashtray?
Oh, really?
Do you remember that book? It was supposed to, it discouraged me from smoking.
Tom Waits.
I was like, I want boys to kiss me and I'm going to, Tom Waits. Tom Waits. I'm glad we Tom waited for that line. We got to go, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Tomorrow we have a very special episode of All Fan Thrax. All of your fan mail, we're the whole show. It's so much fun. I can't wait for you to hear it. So stay tuned. We'll see you then. And don't be cut and
jackfruit.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are,
Mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.